The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on January 7th, 2007, in Sengatoka, Fiji.
So today we are studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tadvidi pranipatena padiprasnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Om Ajnana Timadam Yasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hariyam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, some people think they can become Krishna conscious on their own. That I don't need a guru. I will just chant and I'll become Krishna conscious all by myself. But can you do that? Is that possible? That on your own you can become Krishna conscious? Without any guru's help? Can you do it all by yourself? No. Do you think I will be the devotee of Krishna? And what does Krishna say? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. He says you must approach Guru. You must approach Guru. You cannot do it on your own. Guru is required. So how will you approach Guru? Will you argue with him? Will you tell him he is wrong? Or will you submissively hear what he has to say and inquire to learn more of the science of bhakti and render service to him? Krishna is saying that you approach him with submissive spirit to hear what he has to say and to render service to him. There is no meaning to associating with guru unless one is in the mood of service. Guru is doing service for you. What is the service the guru is doing for you? He is giving you divya jnana. The guru is traveling all over the world to give you transcendental knowledge. So the guru is serving you. Now, do you think you should serve the guru also? Or do you just take the knowledge and don't give any service in return? Even when you go to the store, you take some product, isn't it? You go to the grocery store and you buy one apple. Don't you have to pay for the apple? Or do you just take it for free? If you take the apple for free, what do they call you? Thief. You cannot steal, that is immoral. If you grab the apple and put it in your pocket without paying, then that's a very bad thing. That is thief. You can be punished. They can put you in jail for stealing an apple. You know that. The police can come and they can put you in jail for stealing an apple. So we should not steal. If we take some product, we must pay for it. So when we hear from Guru, he is giving us a product, Divya Gyan. He is giving us transcendental knowledge. Therefore we must pay. And that is by rendering service to Guru. So this is a very important principle. Unless we serve the spiritual master, there is no question of realizing transcendental knowledge. Without service, it will simply come in one ear and go out the other ear. You see. We will have questions at the end. Yes. Yeah. It will simply go in one ear and come out the other ear. Therefore, this mood of serving Guru is very, very essential. When Srila Prabhupada was here, we were very, very eager to serve Srila Prabhupada. Because we understood how much he is sacrificing for us. He is giving everything for us to enlighten us in this knowledge. Therefore, we were very, very eager to serve Srila Prabhupada. In fact, we were so eager that there was competition. Who will be the one that gets to serve him? Everyone wanted to be the one who was doing the service. So you'd have to compete with everyone else. And who will get the chance to do the service? You see. Prabhupada makes very, very nice points here. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Why is it difficult? Do you know why it's difficult to become Krishna conscious? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because everywhere around us, here in Singhitoka, in Fiji, How many people want to be Krishna conscious? They are simply running after sense gratification. Everywhere. Television, radio, movies, magazines, newspapers. Everyone's simply running. It's like last year, I came to Singhitoka on New Year's Eve. And we could hardly sleep because just across the road they were having a New Year's Eve party. They were screaming all night long like wild animals, you see, trying to so-called enjoy the New Year coming in. So that's why it's difficult to become Krishna conscious. Because we live in a world where nobody wants to be Krishna conscious except a few of us. We're a very small number compared to the population of Fiji and the population of the world. It's very difficult to become Krishna conscious for that reason. So how do we make it easy? We don't want it to be difficult. So how do we make it easy? By coming in contact with Guru. You see, by mercy of Guru, then it becomes easy. The spiritual master picks us up from our position within the modes of nature and he places us on the transcendental platform in devotional service. That is his love, that is his kindness. The spiritual master voluntarily embraces the difficulty of picking us up to take us out of our difficult situation within the material nature. Just see how kind is the spiritual master. Spiritual master is ocean of mercy. He's simply an ocean of mercy. Here we see in our front the Pacific Ocean. It's very vast, vast ocean, Pacific Ocean. But that Pacific Ocean is but a mere drop compared to the great ocean, which is the love in the heart of the pure devotee of Krishna. That is the greatest ocean of all. The love in the heart of Krishna's pure devotee. So we must approach such a pure devotee. We must submissively bow down at his feet. We must render him service. We must inquire from him submissively. Because he can reveal everything to us about Krishna. And he can free us from our difficult position within this material existence. The difficulty is our mind is going somewhere else. We're thinking this thing, that thing. That's a problem. The mind is very fickle. It's like a dancing dog, jumping, jumping here, jumping there. Or like monkey. You've seen the monkeys? They go jumping from one branch to another branch. And then when the merchant is not looking, what does the monkey do? He comes swooping in and steals the bananas. You see. So monkeys are very, very naughty. Very naughty. They'll steal your glasses off your face. Or they'll grab your bead bag and run with your bead bag. They're so naughty characters. And they are vegetarian also, you know that. So being a vegetarian isn't good enough. You shouldn't think, oh yes, I am vegetarian. But monkeys are also vegetarians. And they're simply little rascals, that's all. You want to be properly situated in your diet, then you must take only Krishna prasad, Krishnatarian, you see. I don't take any food unless it is offered to Krishna. That is the proper position. So if we take advantage of the mercy of that pure devotee, take the mercy, the blessings of that spiritual master, then easily we can become liberated from all problems of this material existence. So we have to find out such a spiritual master. What are the symptoms? That is described. Shrotiyam Brahma Nishtam. Shrotiyam means he has heard the Vedic wisdom. And he repeats the Vedic wisdom verbatim, as it is. He does not add, he does not subtract. He keeps the Vedic wisdom in its pure form. And Brahma Nishtam, He is fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's not that the guru has some other business. That he gives nice lecture and then he goes to the cinema, you see, or he goes to the nightclub. No, he has no interest in anything outside of Krishna consciousness. Simply, Kirtaniya Sadahari. 24 hours a day, he is simply absorbed in glorifying Krishna. He has no other business. That is Guru. So, to have the association of such an enlightened spiritual personality, such an empowered spiritual being, you see, that is what we need. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prishade Pai Bhakti Latabhij. After wandering through the universe, the higher planets, the lower planets, through countless numbers of different bodily forms, one living entity, Kona Bhagavanji, one living entity who is very fortunate gets, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the seed of bhakti planted in the heart. That seed of bhakti that is the most important seed. There is no seed more important than the seed of bhakti. If we get that seed of bhakti planted in the heart, and we take proper care of that seed, if we water that seed by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we weed the garden of the heart by pulling out all forms of illicit sex life, all forms of meat eating, intoxication and gambling, we clean the heart free of all these sinful activities. And if we will protect that devotional creeper from the most dangerous enemy of all. Do you know what is that most dangerous enemy of all? Vaishnava aparad. Being offensive towards the devotee of the Lord. That is the greatest killer of bhakti. If we become offensive towards a Vaishnava, that will kill the devotional creeper. So we must always worship the Vaishnavas. We must always serve the Vaishnavas. And in this way, we will become very, very strong in Krishna consciousness. Nothing will be able to take away that wonderful Krishna bhakti which is fructifying within the heart. And gradually as that bhakti lata, that creeper of bhakti grows more and more and more within the heart, it will penetrate all the coverings of this material universe. It will go into the spiritual sky. It will go beyond all the unlimited number of Vaikuntha planets where Lord Vishnu is there in these multifarious forms. It will go all the way to the topmost planet in the spiritual world, which is Krishna Loka. That's right. That creeper will go all the way to Krishna Loka, and it will become entwined where? At the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Krishna. And when that creeper becomes entwined around the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Krishna, then what is the result? That wonderful full-grown fruit of love of God will manifest. So, we depend on Guru because he gives us the seed. Just like a lady, if she wants to have a baby, she depends on the husband to give the seed. She cannot have a child on her own. She depends on someone to give seed. So, we are like them. We depend on Guru to give us the seed. Without that seed of bhakti given by Guru, we cannot attain bhakti. So we should never think, on my own I will become Krishna conscious. We are completely, totally dependent on the mercy of Guru to give us that seed of bhakti. And once we have that seed, now we don't need Guru anymore? No. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, can anyone make advancement? What is your answer? Without Guru's grace, can you make advancement or not? What is the answer? Do you know? Without the grace of Guru, no one can make any advancement. So we are dependent upon Guru at every single step. Therefore, one can never reject one's Guru. You must always hold tightly on to the lotus feet of your Guru Maharaj, and he will pull you out of this material existence. So now the rain is falling. And here in Singha Toka. It was needed rain. I heard there was some rain shortage. The water was turned off. So this is very good. The rain is falling in Singha Toka. If you take complete shelter of Guru, the rain of Krishna's mercy will always be pouring in your heart. You'll always have a wonderful pouring, soothing rain of Krishna's mercy within your heart. Otherwise, without that rain of Krishna's mercy, our heart becomes a parched desert. Now in Australia, there's a very big problem. Australia is drying up. No rain is falling, and the underground reservoirs of water, which are there by nature's way, those are drying up. There's great anxiety now, the leaders of Australia, great anxiety because there's a shortage of rain. So we are very much dependent on rain. Can the scientists give us rain? Can the Prime Minister, the new Prime Minister now, yesterday we have a new Prime Minister in Fiji. Can the new Prime Minister give us the rain? No. The old one couldn't give us the rain. The new one cannot give us the rain. How does the rain come? Do you know how the rain comes? Do you know how the rain comes? By the mercy of Krishna, the rain comes. So we are dependent upon Krishna at every step. How much we are dependent on Krishna? Your heart is beating right now, isn't it? Isn't that how your body is staying alive? If your heart stops beating, what will happen? You will die, isn't it? Are you consciously making your heart beat? Okay, heart. No. Your heart beat is going on automatically by the arrangement of God. God is maintaining your life at every minute. Because He is, as a super soul, seated within the heart, He is energizing that heart to keep pumping away. Pump, 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 pump. So how much were you dependent on God at every step? The difficulty is, we do not want to acknowledge God. I am great. This is the disease of modern men. They're thinking, I am great. Everyone is thinking, I am great. And God is dead. So such a society that wants to deny the existence of God. As we are seeing more and more all over the world, they want to deny the existence of God. Such a world society must collapse sooner or later. It cannot continue. This Krishna consciousness movement is the most important movement. Because it is giving life back to the world. The whole world now is in a state of dying because they are returning away from God. This Krishna consciousness movement is bringing God back so that everyone can become happy. So try to understand, what is this Krishna consciousness movement? Hare Krishna movement, founded by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jagacharya, Asta Tarasada Sri Srimad, A.C. Bhakti Vadandati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Try to understand, what is this sublime movement? Try to dedicate your life to this sublime movement. Your life will be perfect. Your life will be free of anxieties, and you will not take birth again in this material world. You will go back to home, back to Godhead, at the end of this lifetime. So, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, as described here, one should dedicate his life completely to the Krishna consciousness movement. Whatever walk of life you may be in, you may be a businessman, you may be a monk, you may be a married man, you may be a student, you may be a businessman, whatever, you may be doctor, lawyer, Fijian chief, whatever you may be. Give this life to Krishna under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And your life will be sublime. So, does anyone have questions?
Can you kindly explain more what do you mean by Krishna consciousness?
Krishna consciousness. Yes. Krishna consciousness is described by Krishna, man manam avamad bhakto madhyanji mang namaskaru mam nevashashi yukvayavam atmanam matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that at every moment I must be thinking of Krishna. Even when I'm at the office and I'm doing my professional work, I must see everything that I'm doing in relationship with Krishna. It means 24 hours a day always remembering Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, we should only do those things that are in relationship with Krishna. We should only do those things that we can offer to Krishna. We should not act in other ways for personal sense gratification that cannot be offered to Krishna. Because when we do that, we are forced to forget Krishna. We should always be engaged in activities which are according to the instructions of Krishna. Krishna is giving us 9 different types of activities. Nava, Vidha, Bhakti. Bhaja, what is that? Shravana, Kirtana, Smanana, Vandana, Padasevana, Dashare, Pujana, Sakijana, Admani, Vedana. So Govindadasa, he is giving us Govinda Dasa Vilasare. He is describing, actually. These are listed by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam. And they are repeated by Govinda Dasa also. The foundation of Krishna consciousness is hearing and chanting. To always be hearing about Krishna. Hear the philosophy of Krishna. Hear the Krishna kirtan. The authorized kirtan. Sometimes we want to sing other songs, but no, we should. Even there are so many songs about Krishna, but the strict devotees, they only want to sing the songs that are given by the Prabhupada, authorized by Prabhupada. You see, to hear the authorized songs about Krishna, that is the most potent thing. There are so many songs about Krishna, but we need to hear those songs which are infused with pure bhakti coming from the acharyas, because those songs will easily liberate us. Those kirtans will easily liberate us from material consciousness. So we hear about Krishna, we chant Krishna by this absorption in hearing and chanting, then we remember Krishna quite easily. We pray to Krishna, we serve Krishna, we offer everything to Krishna. We stop being enemies with the Lord and do everything for His pleasure. In this way, Krishna consciousness Prabhupada said it very simply. He said, nothing to purchase except Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. I have nothing else. Just like sometimes we go to the store looking for this, looking for that. But Krishna consciousness means I have nothing else I want except Krishna. Give me Krishna, nothing but Krishna, 24 hours a day. It's not that, well, some Krishna now, and now we have a little sense gratification. No. No, Krishna now, Krishna next, tomorrow, Krishna the next day, nothing but Krishna, Krishna, Krishna the whole life, Krishna, 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 and every minute. That is Krishna consciousness. Questions more? So, I have a policy that if you don't ask questions, then I ask you questions. Actually, Krishna says here, when Guru is present, you should ask questions. So you should not think, oh, this is a married man. He is not Guru, therefore I will not ask him questions. Sometimes they think, oh, you have to be sannyasi and saffron to be a guru. But this is not a fact. Who was the guru of Krishna? Do you know who the guru of Krishna was? Sandipani Muni. He was a married man. And Prabhupada, he has given a list of the seven mothers. You know that list of the seven mothers? Yeah. And what is one of the mothers? Guru Patni, the wife of the spiritual master. So, if there is a wife of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master can have a wife. It is common sense then. And actually, it's interesting to note in this connection. Prior to the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as described, this is Prabhupada points this out in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prior to the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as described in the Pancharatra, diksha or initiation is only given by grihastha brahmanas. The only gurus were grihastha brahmanas. But Lord Chaitanya, he modified them. Kiba vipra, kibra nashi, shudra kene noi. Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sai Guru Hoy. Because previously only the Grihasthas were Guru, Grihastha Brahman. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, anyone can be Guru if they know the science of Bhakti. Grihastha can be Guru, Shudra, Sannyasi, anyone can be Guru if they know the science of Krishna. So he expanded that Sannyasis, they can also be Gurus. Lord Chaitanya expanded the concept. So you should not think, well, this is not a guru, so I will not ask any questions. You see? Because he is a married man. Guru is guru. It doesn't matter if he is sannyasi, grihastha, vanaprastha, brahmachari, whatever he may be. If he knows the science of Krishna, he is guru. And it is our duty when we come in contact with Guru that we are to inquire. This is what Krishna is saying. So, on this basis, we are asking again if there's any question. Yes?
So, what is the position of a grahastha as a renunciate? What is his position?
What is the meaning of renunciation?
What is the renunciation?
Yes, one's Krishna consciousness is not determined by ashram. One can be a sannyasi and be in maya also. Sometimes we have ISKCON sannyasis who fall down. They can't maintain their Krishna consciousness. They leave the movement. You see. Simply entering into one ashram doesn't make, is not some automatic thing that now you become a pure devotee because you're wearing saffron. You see. It's what's in one's heart that counts. If one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness and is giving up all forms of sense enjoyment, that is the qualification. It is not by one's dress. It is by changing the color of one's dhoti that you can become a pure devotee. It's not that easy to give up material desire that just by changing the color of one's dress you can become a pure devotee. Actually, there is one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, here comes another disciple of Kali. He is wearing tilak on the nose and he is wearing kanti mala, but he is keeping so many women for illicit sex. So simply changing one's dress doesn't make one Krishna conscious. One has to judge one's Krishna consciousness by how much they are addicted to Krishna. They have no business except for Krishna 24 hours a day. That's why it's said that one should study the prospective guru for at least 6 months to see how much this person is addicted to Krishna. He has nothing else. He has nothing else to think about, nothing else to talk about, nothing else to do 24 hours a day except Krishna, 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 Krishna. We shouldn't just blindly think, well, he has saffron on, he must be a pure devotee. You see. In India, there are so many people wearing saffron, they are bogus. That's a fact. So you can't judge this by the color of the dress. One has to know by the symptoms. Is this person 24 hours a day, his only business is Krishna? And that is the person who is empowered by Krishna to liberate us from this material existence. Any other questions? So, what is the renunciation of the householder? Of course, there are two kinds of persons with wife. There's grihastha and there's vanaprastha. Grihastha means he is doing, he's raising family, he's making money. You see, that is grihastha, having children. But then there is vanaprastha, that means he still has wife, but he's practically like a sannyasi in his activities. He has no business for making money, he has no business for producing children. He's not simply interested in living in a house somewhere and, you know, mowing the lawn, beautifying his house. The vanaprastha, he's very eager to travel and preach all over the world and save the suffering souls of this Kali Yuga from their fallen condition. So just because someone has a wife doesn't mean they are grihastha. There is also vanaprastha urdhva. The vanaprastha is traveling. He's given up the attachment for home life. He's simply traveling and preaching all over the world to save the fallen souls of Kali from the darkness of ignorance. So, of course, the renunciation of the grihastha is that he uses everything for Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he's a perfect example of renounced grihastha. He had a very big family and he was working hard for the British government, but every spare minute he was preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also, he was family man, he had a business, but everything he was doing, he was offering it in Krishna's service, in Guru's service. So one has to see there are two types of householder actually. There's grihastha and grihamedi. Grihastha means he is fully Krishna conscious. In his house you will not find mundane videos, but he's watching Bollywood videos. Completely, the whole house is an ashram. It's like a sannyasi's ashram. Everywhere there is simply books about Krishna, everything about Krishna. He has no mundane thing. His house is ashram, grihastha ashram. So such grihasthas, they are as, Prabhupada said, they are as good as any sannyasi. Actually he said, the Krishna conscious grihastha, he is paramahamsa. Prabhupada explains in one lecture. They are paramahamsa. The highest level personality. Someone who doesn't engage in any sense gratification. Actually, to be with wife and to be renounced, that is a greater renunciation. Because the object of sense enjoyment is there, but still one is remaining renounced. So in that sense, the grihastha is considered more renounced. Because he has all the facility, but still he is not indulging his senses in illicit activity. So that's the answer. Any other questions?
Is the guru chooses the disciple?
disciple chooses the guru, or the guru chooses the disciple?
The disciple should...
chooses the guru, or the guru chooses the disciple?
Does the guru choose the disciple, or the disciple choose the guru? Actually, the disciple chooses the guru. Sometimes it's the disciple's choice. The spiritual master, it's described by Jiva Goswami that a spiritual master is traveling and preaching all over the world. As a missionary, he should make as many disciples as possible. So the spiritual master, actually, he wants to make as many disciples as possible. That's his duty, according to Jiva Goswami. One time someone asked Prabhupada, how many disciples do you have? He said, I have millions of disciples. They just have to realize it. So actually, Guru, the bona fide spiritual master, he has millions of disciples all over the world. They just have to realize it. But it is not his forcing. They have to come to that own realization. But yes, here is my spiritual master. That is a decision that comes from the disciple. Yes, I would like to accept this person as my spiritual master. The guru can't force. He says, okay, now you become my disciple. That's artificial. You see. It has to be, not that, okay, I grab you and make you my disciple. You see, that the guru cannot do. The disciple, he has to decide on his own. Yes. Guru cannot force. That has to be a decision in the mind, in the heart of the disciple. That yes, I would like to accept this person as my spiritual master. So it's completely on the disciple to choose. Who will be my guru? When will I surrender? How much will I surrender? You can't say, well, the guru didn't grab me, so I can just remain in sense gratification. It's his fault. He didn't save me, so I can just enjoy my senses. No, it's your responsibility to choose Guru and fully surrender to Him. Tad vijnanartam saguru meva bhigatchat mundaku panushad. One must approach the spiritual master. It's compulsory. Tasmad gurum prapadyecha jigyashu shreya uttamam. Anyone who is interested in achieving the highest benefit, they must approach the spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. That is stated. It's up to the disciple to choose. Questions more? All right then. We will stop here and we thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.